Every little word that you say to me keeps my heart on time. Red blood flowing like a rough rapid when you are nearby. Ain't no doubt, cause it's plain to see, you set us so fire. Something so true is what I get from you, and I hope that you'll see, you get the best of me. Something so true is what I get from you, and I hope that you'll see, you get the best of me.
Welcome back to the final segment, ladies and gentlemen. My special Kiwi guest right now is Richard Osmaston from the Money Free Party, otherwise known as the Free Money Party, which is very much pleasing all the socialists out there in New Zealand. The problem of which is you run out of people's money to spend, as Reagan said. And Reagan also got shot. You know, there's two wonderful things happen in the same time frame. It's just so wonderful. Okay, and Richard, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny. Great to be here. Cheers.
Okay. Give us a little bit of background about yourself and what it is you do, please, brother.
Cool. All right, Vinny. Well, I'm actually a farmer. I farm pigs, and my daughter raises horses up here at Lake Rotorua in the South Island. But I'm an aircraft engineer and a pilot by trade, but I seem to have found myself doing politics, which was never my intention. But well, that seems to be the way things goes. And our proposal is we're registering the Money Free Party, and we are proposing to make everything free and everything voluntary. And we see a world in which we don't even have any money at all. There is no false value systems. There's no trade or barter. And everything is free and everything is voluntary. Does that make sense?
Zeitgeist, Venus Project kind of thing?
Precisely, yeah.
Okay. So you're advocating a resource-based economy, more or less.
Exactly, Vinny. Yeah, thank you for saying that. Not everybody puts those words together yet, but it is definitely coming, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not a new idea. Ultimately, what I'd like to do is actually have it see the Venus Project idea done.
Yeah.
You know, at least yeah. once. You know, it'd be great to see a city run on the particular system, but
yeah.
What I found was the drawback with the system is that it has to be global. I'm not 100% sure how it would work on the micro as well as the macro. And
yeah.
And the problem is, what if it doesn't work at the macro either? What if we restructure the entire world for this perfect new resource-based economy and it's a complete
yeah.
and it's a complete balls up?
Yes, could we go back? I know that's always a sort of something little nagging in the back of our minds, but the way we see the concept, Vinny, is slightly different from that of the Venus Project. And I've spent a lot of time with those guys and with Zeitgeist people and the Money Free Party in the UK as well. And, of course, we have Ubuntu now in South Africa. You know, we're not alone in doing this. This is huge around the world. But without sounding too sort of conceited, I think conceptually we're actually further ahead than all those organizations. And you know, it's funny, New Zealand's a funny little place, eh? It's the sort of place where quite often, and we can see it historically, things have happened first here around the world, you know, compared to anybody else, because, you know, relatively educated, forward-looking, sort of civilized, small country, and you can get on fast here, you know, and we've seen that before. And because of the way, I mean, especially with a sort of Nelson-type community, there's a lot of enthusiasm for this kind of thing. There's a lot of educated, sort of charismatic, cosmopolitan minds here, and we can really progress this kind of thing a lot in a way that you probably couldn't with the same, how should we say, intensity in a place like London or even Auckland or, you know, Los Angeles or Florida. Everywhere is different, isn't it? Excuse me. Anyway, our concept for the actual process of transformation from a money-based economy to a resource-based economy only takes place in people's minds, and we don't really need to build a new city. We don't need to have a new societal model or new computer systems or training or anything, because we've actually got everything we need already. And I mean, it's just a process of sort of thrashing it out. And I what I find is, you know, I've been promoting this for really 5 years, pretty much full time now. Once people understand, then they realize, wow, we've got everything we need already. And all we have to do is understand. That's the only difference between Nirvana and this sort of chaos that we're in at the moment. We're ready. As far as I'm concerned, we're totally ready.
Well, how ready are we? I mean, exactly what would be the transition scheme? Because if you're going to take a monetary-based economy into a non-monetary, voluntary-based economy, how exactly are you going to persuade the current business elite who benefits so much from it and also reach the much poorer communities who are politically apathetic?
They are politically apathetic, I agree, Vinny, but I mean, I've spent most of my, I'm recruiting members for the Money Free Party. You know, I need 500 signed up members to register the party. And I've spent a lot of time talking to disadvantaged and, you know, more sort of fringe areas of society. And this works for everybody. And what I think what makes this different to any other major change, I mean, and I do mean in the whole of history, is that this benefits everybody. And the business elites that you're talking about are not the ones that you have in mind. How old are you, Vinny?
I'm 29.
Oh, well, mere slip of a lad. Well, but because we base our expectation of the future on our experience of the past, okay? And we think of, you know, these awful business leaders, sort of psychopathic monsters who just want to grind people into the ground and get their money out of them. But modern business leaders are not like that. If you start thinking of Richard Branson's, Mark Zuckerberg's, etc., you know, the truly modern business leaders, and what I've been doing since I've been promoting this, is going to exactly those people that you've just described, who we all think of as heinous monsters, and saying, look, what would this be like for you? And, of course, these people do have empathy. Yeah, okay, they're cunning and ruthless, and they work very hard, and they're trying to get the most out of everybody, but at the same time, they have a social conscience. They have an environmental awareness, and they're not the monsters that we're thinking of, you know, the Rupert Murdochs and the, you know, the great industrialists of the past.
Who, like David Rockefeller, who's still alive.
Yeah. I mean, yes, of course, some of them are probably monstrous, but they are...
They even admit, you know, and brag about it.
Exactly. And at their level, I mean, it doesn't really matter. But to them, you know, they're totally detached in some ways from reality. But what we're seeing now, the modern business leaders, the majority of them, they are actually becoming aware. And, of course, with the climate threat, that doesn't leave anybody out. You know, we're all involved in that. We're all sharing the same climate. And so nobody can go on in sort of blissful ignorance just because they've got a massive marble palace and loads of guards. You know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for anybody. And I mean, one of my favorite expressions from sort of seems to have appeared from the campaign is that today, even the rich are poor, you know, and it wasn't long ago. I mean, even in our lifetimes when, you know, you could sort of blissfully live with a sort of a social inequality that really didn't affect you, you know. But now we realize as a society that, you know, big levels of inequality are so bad for all of us that you just can't carry on like that. You know, it doesn't work for anybody. It certainly doesn't work for the poor, of course. It never did. But it doesn't work for the rich either because, you know, they share the same streets. They have, you know, everyone is connected to society. You can no longer sort of live in ignorance, you know. Does that make sense, Ian?
I don't know. I think you'll be surprised just how much ignorance people can live in, despite the contrary evidence available.
Well, the thing is, with the resource-based economy, which makes it different to every other change throughout history, is everybody wins. And even the most successful business people, they will be better off once we transition to a moneyless economy. Everybody wins, and that has never occurred before in history. Every social change has always involved somebody losing and somebody winning. And, of course, those who are losing don't want to give that up. And we do see a sort of insecurity, and people are clinging on to sort of the old ways. But as we get better educated and the people get better connected and they're more aware of, you know, as you say, social inequality, environmental degradation, it's changing on its own, you know. going back to the actual transformation process itself, I mean, I see it as so easy. And once people understand, I do a lot of presentations to school groups and young people, and they get it, you know, without our brainwashing that we've all grown up with, they get it straight away. It's so easy. And the actual transformation process itself is already beginning. I mean, I went to the inaugural meeting of a men's shed, and I think there's about 40 in this country now. I think there's some 300 in Australia, which is totally voluntary. People go there just because they want to. They want to contribute. They want to share socially and be with other people to do good things. And, of course, in New Zealand especially, when you look at how much volunteering is already done by people who are stressed, exhausted, broke, worried about the future, but they still pitch up and do stuff in the evenings and weekends. I mean, St John's Ambulances, I think it's, you'd have to check the figures, but I think it's 70% voluntary. You know, the Rural Fire Service, you know, assistance for schools and charity shop. I mean, the voluntary work that is done here is massive. People, you know, it's not like this is a totally new concept. I know we don't see the majority of society as working nonetheless, but actually we're all doing a bit of it already. And I mean, one's only got to look at your own family to see examples of, you know, we're not counting every being. We, you know, we just share, and it works out very well that way, you know.
Well, it seems that when people are doing the right thing, things sort of happen in a universal sort of way to make it work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, I mean, one of the things that's come up since I've been on the campaign, I don't think I told you, Vinny, I ran for the mayor of Nelson back in October in the local elections. So we've had this on a big, high-profile public platform before, a lot of questions and answers, interviews with TV3, on the radio, in the paper, sort of all the time down here in the Nelson Mail. And, you know, this has been thoroughly tested in our region. And yes, it's fair to say a lot of people don't fully understand the resource-based economy yet, but nobody can break it. I've never had a decent show-stopping reason for not carrying on, because this is so important. You know, I mean, I say with utter sincerity, Vinny, I see this as the most important thing that has ever happened. Okay.
Well, you're talking about the restructuring and hence saving of our current deadly, horrific society that doesn't serve anybody but a few wealthy business elite that basically set it up.
Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. And so this is, you know, this is big stuff. And sometimes these things can be a little tricky in the beginning, but make no mistake, you know, I see it as the most important thing that has ever happened, really. Yeah, and by taking it to a bigger audience, I mean, we just keep testing it further. And I mean, there's no decent objections to doing this, you know. Everybody wins. One of the, sort of, put it in a nutshell, phrases that's come up recently from sharing this with a lot of, I mean, that's all we do is share it with people and see what they think. You know, this looks like a great idea. This looks like it's going to save us all. This is it. This is salvation. What do you think? And because I'm not an economist or a sociologist, you know, I'm just a guy, I don't really know, I have to ask. And I think that's made this development program very different, because I haven't squirreled myself away in an office in Wellington for 5 years and written a huge book. I've just gone out on the street and just talked to ordinary people, you know, but at every level of society. And all I have ever got is reinforcement. And, oh, sweet, bro, that could be a good idea. And, okay, this might be difficult. We talk to somebody else, and we come up with another solution to that little problem. And sure enough, it's all in our brainwashing. There's nothing wrong at all, you know. The point I was coming to, this sort of expression you come up with, is when you have a money system or any sort of false value system or even a barter system, we reward those who take the most, basically. We revere those who have done the most taking. Whereas once we are moneyless in a resource-based economy, we'll still have people who are show-offs and people who are leaders and people who want power and people who want to be the number one, but they will be revered because they have done the most giving. And that is utterly transformational. You know, that just, I mean, that turns conventional society on its head. Suddenly, the goodies will be rewarded and revered, and they will be the famous people, the people that we look up to, rather than at the moment we look up to those basically who have done the best job of exploiting others, you know, or the planet.
Like the Prime Minister.
Wow. I mean, really? You know, if you take, you know, in a finite world, which, you know, you've only recently discovered that it is finite, you can't blame the people in 1900 or 1950s. They didn't know. But yes, today, if you have more than your fair share, you can only get it by exploiting someone else, you know? That means someone else has gone without. And I mean, I don't feel great about that. Yeah.
You know, and this is the idea, of course, is creating abundance for everybody. Yes. What's difficult is, like, when you talk about resource management, resource extraction, etc., like that, where do human rights come into it, you know, some and private property? And, I mean, are you talking about abolishing private property? So if somebody's got a home that's been in their family...
Not at all. No, not at all. The sort of fundamental key to this is the fact that in a false value system, as you have at the moment, it's me versus you. And that is universal. It's 7 billion versus 7 billion people. It's every man for himself. Even, you know, it comes down to your choice of marriage partner. I mean, everything has a financial element to it, and nobody can really behave truthfully because of this overriding system. It's a competitive system, every single one against every single other one. Whereas in a resource-based economy, when there is no false value system, we're all on the same side. And if you get 7 billion people cooperating, which is ultimately what actually everyone would like to do, then you solve every problem you can think of. Actually, you know what? Almost effortlessly. Because, you know, 7 billion make up one hell of a team, you know? That's a lot of people pushing in the right direction. You get them all pulling in opposite directions, and you end up with basically what we've got today. Private, I mean, ownership and property. I mean, do you own your own shopping trolley, Vinny?
No.
Why not? You know?
Well, because it's provided for me for free.
Well, exactly, and they're easy to make in a factory. They're not difficult to make, and I mean, why would you want to own one? You'd have to maintain it. You'd have to lock it up. You'd have to build it yourself. Just borrow it, mate, and give it back, you know, like a library book or a rental car or, you know, a super yacht. I mean, all these things are freely available in the Nelson Marina, where we spend a lot of time. I mean, there's 600 yachts there. Most of them never go anywhere. There's plenty of everything for everybody. Why you would want to own your own shopping trolley or own a whole library? I mean, do you want to look after it? If you really want it, you can have it. But personally, I'm happy just to go there, borrow the book I need, and when I'm done with it, I give it back. You know, we're doing this already. It's not an alien idea for us. This is so natural to borrow something, have the utility of it, and then give it back. I don't own a train either, you know, or a jumbo, but I know I go in all those quite often.
Do you own pants?
Your own pants?
Like your own pants, you know, like you put them on in the morning, you go out the door so people can't see your genitalia swinging in the breeze.
Yeah.
In the system, would we own our own pants, or we'd go borrow them for an extended period of time and then chuck them out, or what?
I think it's up to you, mate. It's
because what you've done there, and I think it's quite brilliant, is you've described all the larger things that we're already using in public and we're already using in concert. However, it's actually the small things that really make up our lives, you know, these little ornaments or pictures that we have on the walls, all of these kind of things.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to make them? Where are we going to borrow them from?
I mean, you can go to Kmart or the warehouse, and they're basically giving them away, you know. I mean, in fact, if you go to the dump or the charity shop, they are giving them away. And if you don't have a monetary influence, you know, a little trinket from a charity shop, you know, to a child who hasn't been influenced by Coco Chanel and, you know, the diamond industry, is just as happy with a little trinket that her friend made or one that Granny picked up at the charity shop as she is with a $10,000 thing that, you know, cost lives and resources to dig out of a mine in South Africa. You know, what is value? And, of course, to people who aren't brainwashed by the money system, mostly actually value is something with love in it. And, you know, just as, you know, one's own child makes a little, I don't know, piece of jewelry or, you know, does a painting at school, and it's very, very precious to us. And without a money system, those sort of things with real value, because they had love in them, will come to the fore. And the things that are actually exploitative, such as diamonds or gold or expensive cars, will disappear, because it's just, I mean, you know, who wears fur coats today, you know? I know they're very warm, but as a society, we don't really look up to people who wear mink fur coats anymore, you know? It's changing.
I think it is. And if society is changing, that means the government that represents it have to change with it.
Yeah.
However, what I find interesting is that the government seems to, shall we say, adopt the opposite purpose, where if society is changing, they try as hard as they can to stop change in its tracks, ironically campaigning at the same time on a platform of change.
Indeed. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, the way I see it, Benny, is, you know, the government is just another institution. It's the, sort of this behemoth monolith, that sounds good, isn't it? And what is the purpose of an institution? At the end of the day, in the long term, it is to maintain itself, regardless of the need of the little soft humans that may come and go. And so thus we get the institutions of education, government, industry, etc. They remain, and the people come and go, don't they? You know, we're just little soft things that are processed through that institution. And I would say that the government, you know, is just another form of monolithic institution that doesn't know how to change. And of course, it threatens its very self in a monetary system if it does change. And that's the last thing the institution, you know, is designed to do for itself. So it continues regardless of the needs of the people.
I find what's strange about politicians, like career politicians, for instance, is that you get born, you go into kindergarten, you go to middle school, and then you go to high school, then you go to university, and then you go into a government job, and you've never actually had a real job in your life, never actually really gotten the opportunity to put your creativity into gear, and then all of a sudden you put your copious quantities of rules into play that annihilates your creativity, and then because you don't have any, you start to impose all those rules that were imposed onto you onto other people because you don't have any either.
Yeah, institutionalised behaviour. Yeah.
Right, so that's what a government has actually turned into. It's turned into a negative feedback loop of dependency. Now, if it's possible to actually reverse that negative feedback loop, turn it into a positive, it means that nobody should be dependent, everybody should be independent and actually contributing to the greater whole rather than asking what the greater whole can do for them and how they can bludge off of it.
Absolutely, I totally agree, Vinny, yep. Yeah, and the way to get there is not by striking at the head of government. Much as I'd like to see John Key or the boss of Monsanto or the oil companies or the mining people, you know, all these supposed enemies of the people, you know, they've been pushed into those positions. I mean, it's partly due to their psychopathic nature, but...
The poor psychopaths, I mean, you know, give them a break, ladies and gentlemen.
No, they're lovely. I know, they kiss babies, I've seen it. But... you know, this is what you get in a competitive system. Those who are the most ruthless, the most cunning, will gradually rise to the top.
The American Medical Journal agrees with you that psychopaths are really successful in general. They've got this subset called a corporate psychopath, and they find their way into the main institutions, religion, business, politics, entertainment, law, and medicine.
Yes, any structure whereby trampling on your colleagues, you get ahead, basically, and you trample on the everybody else, basically. That's the only way to get up, is to stand on somebody else. That's exactly right. And I mean, one of the things I find very frustrating but also very encouraging is that there are so many, how should we say, enemies out there, baddies, you know, whether it be the whale hunters or the psychopaths or the murderers or the car stealers, the shoplifters, the druggies. You know, any one of these things that people are protesting against, and of course there are almost unlimited number now, especially on Facebook, they're coming up every day, aren't they? Oh, join my anti-this group or my anti-that group. But this is not the enemy. The enemy is already within, and it's a little bit of every single one of us in the money system itself, where we've got this competitive system that means you've got to fight for everything. And at the end of the day, I mean, I don't think much of those guys who used to hunt whales. But they didn't do it because they loved killing whales. You know, they did it because they were poor. And if they weren't poor, there was a guy down the street who was homeless who would give his eye teeth for that job so he could feed his family. And what you're really fighting when you're protesting about something you feel strongly in your heart, you're fighting people who feel strongly about something in their stomach because they are starving. And, you know, ultimately, the bottom right at the bottom of the pyramid that you can call Monsanto or Anadarko or, you know, any of these older baddie companies, at the bottom of those pyramids are poor people. And there's no way that a well-meaning, lovely, gentle, you know, hippie from Golden Bay who really hates the fact that people club seals can compete with someone who is starving, you know? On the one hand, we've got social conscience, but on the other side of the balance, we've got total deprivation, you know, people who are truly starving because they can't get a job. And you'll never overcome it by tackling these foes at the head. You know, we can only, and this is the great thing about it, all we have to change is the system itself. We don't have to take all those baddies down, you know. It seems so clear to me, Vinny.
Yep, well, everything seems clear. And you know, until you dive under the water and you realise the murky depths you've wound up in. Richard Osmaston, good luck in your foray into politics. The Money Free Party, does it have a website by chance?
Yes, it does. Moneyfreeparty.org.nz, Vinny. And we're big on Facebook as well, same thing. And we're resource-based economy on Facebook too. Yeah.
Moneyfreeparty.org.nz. Ladies and gentlemen, go and check that out. This concludes another exciting episode for the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Thank you very much for listening, especially those who are tuning in on the radio broadcast on the New Zealand Network's Rush FM network, Affinity FM network, and also Dagsy FM. You know, you just gotta love the Dagsy. And just check out our books as well that are on the webpage, The Crowdfunding Revolution, The Range of Illusion. And if you are keen on sponsoring the show, you know, just give us a contact through the website contact page, or just start making a donation or an automatic payment into the bank account or the PayPal any old time you please. This is listener-supported broadcasting. And let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, none of the mainstream media are going to give adequate coverage to the issues that we discuss on the show that really need to be heard about in long form, because there's just too much information to compress into a 30-second soundbite and then tell you something completely different next so that you forget what they just freaking told you. I love my job.
Oh, Benny, how did you get so cynical? Oh, dear.
You know, reality. Isn't it a bitch?
Isn't it? Wow, you're so onto it. Thank you, mate. That was really great. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Richard.